This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki with another conversation that I recorded live at CES 2025 in the C-Space studio. You can get all those interviews on the CES YouTube channel, but we're bringing this one right to your podcast feed. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the C-Space studio, conversations with leaders about the future of human connection. We're here as part of CES 2025. I'm your host, James Kotecki, and joining me is Deloitte's China Widener, where she is the Vice Chair and U.S. Technology, Media, and Telecommunications Industry Leader. And did I get that right?
You did.
At Deloitte. So thank you so much for joining us in the C-Space studio.
It's my pleasure.
So tell us what you're up to at Deloitte. It's a great title, but what does it actually mean in practice?
So in practice, what it really means is I'm responsible for our national technology and media and telecom practice. If you think about sort of TMT as an industry, it is the technology side of it creates the anchor for all things that media and telecommunications ultimately facilitate, that entertain us, that inform us. And that really is what the responsibility is to support and serve the clients who frankly entertain and inform you.
So what are some of the ways that work actually manifests itself? What are some of the things that you're advising on or doing for clients?
So clients are in an interesting spot right now, right? If you think about where we are with technology and its evolution, generative AI is on the lips of everyone. But the question becomes, how do you make that real? How does it go from an idea to something that is applied? And so we co-create with clients. We help clients facilitate their own transformations internally, because the reality is, while you might have the capacity and ability to embrace the technology, if your own infrastructure, if your own core hasn't necessarily evolved over time because you put all your energy into your product, mm-hmm. right? So it can be back office and in-house, it can be front office and co-creation. It really depends on what a client needs.
Mm-hmm. I know everyone's talking about generative AI, and I know that you think a lot about generative AI. So let's talk about that. How is that impacting your business and what your clients are doing? And is it making it harder for people to trust what they see?
So here's what's interesting. Just this past year, we did our TMT prediction study. And in that research, part of what we discovered is that 73% of people are concerned. And what they're concerned about is really whether or not, one, bad actors will in fact take bad actions on them. Mm-hmm. And the second thing they're concerned about is the service provider's capacity to protect their information. Right? And so when you think about it in that context, what you realize is the industry is faced with a challenge. How do we, in fact, help people adopt, right, the benefits that generative AI brings forward, and yet protect privacy and secure data along the way? And so when you think about those two things, who is in the middle of all of that are you and I, right? Mm-hmm. Both as consumers and users and the people who need, in fact, to benefit from the services and the solutions that it brings, but don't really want to give up all of our privacy to do so, right? That's the challenge. And so is it harder? It is harder, but I think there are ways in which really the industry can step in mm-hmm. and ultimately make that less hard.
And what do you think are some of the ways that are emerging to kind of solve or mitigate that?
There are really two: transparency and control. The first of which is you need to understand transparently what data, in fact, your service provider has. Part of that study, same study, also identified the fact that most people believed the policy was unclear, mm-hmm. right? And so transparency, step one.
They believe that the company's transparency policy was not transparent, so to speak.
That is a way to say it, yes, right? It wasn't easily understood, mm-hmm. right? And then the second aspect of that is, how do I control my data? Mm-hmm. I'm willing to give you access to my personal data, and I'm willing to allow you to use that data in certain ways, but I want to be able to say to you that there are ways that I would like you to and ways that I don't want you to.
It would be such a game changer if we all had that conversation with brands and companies in maybe a more proactive way, and frankly, just speaking as a consumer myself, in a way that was more on my own terms, not like when I'm frantically clicking on some website because I need some information, and then pops up this privacy thing, and now I have to like, I kind of know I should look at that, but at the same time, I'm kind of just like, okay, accept, and kind of move on. And are there ways maybe that you, hopefully we can see in the future of having a more reasoned, kind of deliberate conversation around these issues.
Yeah, and I think what every company will make a choice consistent with its culture, its policy, its standard relative to how proactive they believe is important or necessary to be.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right in terms of this notion of we all sort of go, oh my God, I need to know right now, so I have to click yes.
Yeah.
But the reality is, and I believe that what the industry is beginning to understand is that people do want to know earlier in the process.
Yeah.
Whether they remember, whether they hold on to it is a different question, but they do want to know. And so I think what we're going to see is a much more public push, right, to say this is our policy, this is our practice. It may not be all the legal words because nobody's going to read all the legal words,
yeah.
But being able to communicate it in a way that the average consumer can say, I understand where you stand, I understand where my control is, and that I have some,
yeah.
And I know how to access it. And that alone will change the trust paradigm.
And maybe we'll use generative AI to help understand these policies or summarize them or things like that. Can we talk about on-device AI? So a lot of the generative AI that we're talking about now, and AI generally, might take place, you know, in the cloud. And when we talk about AI actually moving onto people's individual devices, how does that change the game for consumers as you see it?
So we think 2025 is going to be a very interesting year for exactly that set of reasons. We're going to get answers to exactly that question because what we anticipate is that AI on-device, think laptop, think phone. We're going to see more of that. 50% of laptops coming out in 2025 are likely to have AI chips in them. And so we're now going to have what I would call a test in the wild, so to speak, right? We expect laptop sales to increase single digit percentages, but increase nonetheless because of this new solution and opportunity that's going to be provided as a result of these chips, because people want that. We know 24 to 45 year olds are actually willing to refresh their technology, right, with the services embedded in it. They're going to be our first test bed to say, did the problem that it solved for me, was it really valuable to me? Do I want more? Do I want different? Was the quality what was expected?
Yeah.
And that's what we're gonna see.
And for people who maybe aren't as familiar with this, is it really expected that if I do some kind of chat interface on a device that has AI embedded within it, I'm actually going to get better answers? Or is it the promise there that I can get answers that are maybe more personalized to me because I've had it on my own device?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? So if you think about, let's take a typical thing that you or I might do on any given day, which is to say, oh, I think I want Chinese right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're in a different part of town and you would in fact search for Chinese. Yeah. Well, the use case will bring you today brings you back a list of restaurants and maybe it'll tell you how close you are to them.
Yeah.
In the future, what it really will do is to say to you, based on your prior preferences as understood and known by your prior searches for other things, here's not only a list of restaurants, but then to give you a better sense of which ones are more likely to meet your need. So it's both personalization or customization as well as a better response relative to the shorter list. I don't need the list of 100, I need a list of 5, right? Because I want to make a decision
five
today.
That matter to me. Yeah. Where is Deloitte on the topic of diversity, equity, inclusion? You know, it's an interesting time for DEI initiatives. Sometimes the phrase is very politicized. Companies may be seeming to be backing away from it. Where's Deloitte now?
Look, the industry's in a mixed place, right? Just fundamentally, I think the world, quite honestly, is in a mixed place. And for all kinds of reasons, companies will make sets of decisions to reprioritize or deprioritize, as the case may be. For us at Deloitte, we're steadfast in our commitment. We believe, without question, that there's a business imperative. The degree of innovation that you get with diversity is extraordinary and strong, and therefore it contributes to both your top and bottom line. And at the end of the day, what we're really talking about is investment. It's investment in leadership development for people. It's the investment in mentorship and sponsorship for people. And ultimately, it's the capacity to say, I am hiring all who come to me with a set of skills that are valuable to the clients that we serve. And that, at the end of the day, is really the simple and committed message. Now, here's the other piece to that. You want to be effective. So we should, and we do, evolve, evaluate our practices and the programs that we have in place so that we can continue to do those that actually have impact, and we can stop doing the ones that don't.
I did a little research on your background. Am I right? Early in your career, you were a prosecutor?
I was.
Do you still have that mentality, or does any of that shape the work that you do today or the way that you think about the future?
It does, actually. It's interesting because what I would tell you is at this moment, there's sort of an interesting intersection between the days of being a prosecutor, which, if you think about it, my client was the public, mm-hmm. right? That's who I served and who I was responsible for and answering to. And where we are today in the things that are available to us, the opportunities and the challenges, they have a social impact that is much broader, quite honestly, than any one company, than any one of us.
Yeah.
And so this notion of how do you do the job that is before you with that broader social construct in mind is really sort of that integration. And it makes for a very interesting set of conversations, which is not just can we, should we? And both questions are important.
Well, thank you for sharing an interesting conversation with us, China Widener of Deloitte. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
And thank you so much for watching. This is the C-Space Studio. I'm your host, James Kotecki. Please keep it right here because more conversations at CES 2025 are coming your way.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation from CES 2025. That is our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. So if you're on YouTube, please subscribe and leave a comment. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartMedia, or wherever you get your podcasts, hit that follow button and let's give the algorithms what they want. You can get even more CES at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our show produced by Nicole Vidovich and Paige Morris. Our C-Space Studio episodes are produced and edited by Kramer. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.